This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
It's Deacon Tom.
And Dee.
No, you're not Dee, you're Vanna. Vanna White. All right, well, let's continue with the opening of our show, and we'll come back to that, all right?
You are going to explain that, aren't you?
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
What are we doing, Dee? What show is this?
Catholic Vitamin C for Care.
All right.
With our guest, Lorraine Bennett, an author. And this is episode 231.
There we are. Well, Dee, it's a gorgeous Sunday in north central Arizona. The sun is back out after some clouds were around us for a while. I'm a little bit whipped because I've done, well, four masses in 2 days, three of which I preached at. And, you know, I have the setup and greeting people and all that. Then you and I went out to eat. But should we explain the Vanna thing?
Well, I guess you probably need to.
All right. Well, here's what happened. Dee, I preached on three words today, for the three masses that I preached at. What were the three words, Dee? This is a test to see if you pay attention.
Believe.
Okay.
Receive.
Ooh, you were slow on the pickup, but yes, you're correct.
And achieve.
Believe, receive, and achieve.
And if you spell those out with the first letters, it spells bra.
Right.
I was trying to think of a way to remember the three words, and they kept coming out. Oh, no, we can't use that. You can't say that.
I can't do that in church, no.
Then I suggested, well, we should switch it around a little bit, make it B-A-R. No, that won't work either.
No.
Not in a church setting.
Well, I didn't record this homily, so I can't play it or include it in this show or a subsequent show. But what I told people is that I had the idea, when I introduced the three words at the beginning of the homily, I said that I had the idea that I was going to put each of the three words on poster board signs, and I was going to have you, when I was talking about believe or belief, that I would have you walk back and forth at the front of the church with a sign. And I said that you refused to be Vanna. So it made people laugh. And after the 11 o'clock mass, I got a greeting. Tell Vanna we said blessings. Amen.
Oh, you and your ideas.
Well, we were very, very busy at the masses. The 11 was the least busy, but still quite busy.
9 o'clock was packed.
Very, very packed.
Really packed.
A lot of young people. It's so good.
I think there were a lot of visitors passing through our town this weekend because of the holiday weekend, and they came to church. Thank heavens they came to church.
Yeah. All right. What else do we have for prattle in the beginning of our show?
Well, some big news.
Okay. What is that?
We had no frozen yogurt visits this week.
Oh, Dee. Dee needs a 12-step program.
Look at me. I'm shaking.
I know.
I need my peanut butter frozen yogurt.
Speaking of you, you did something new, didn't you? I mean, new for you.
Oh, this morning?
Yes.
Oh, yes, between, or after the 9 o'clock Mass, I took communion to a friend from church who has had surgery on her leg, and she is homebound, bedbound, for a couple weeks coming. Mm-hmm. And I took communion to her, and that's my first time I've, as a Eucharistic minister, taking communion to someone by myself.
Well, in a way that sort of fits in with our vitamin topic for this show on care, Mary, the one that you took communion to at home, is a very caring person, and she does a lot for the community, and she does a lot in the parish for sure.
She's a daily Mass goer, and didn't she emailed us and said that, you know, she's home, and she was home after her surgery, and she was doing well and keeping pain control with pain meds and all that, but having to stay put. And she says, I really miss Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So I'm glad that you took care to her and took care for her. We have something a little unusual on the show. You mentioned our guest, and I'm really anxious to talk about Lorraine Bennett, well, to talk with Lorraine Bennett, and to talk about her book, a new book, A Year of Grace, 365 Reflections for Caregivers. And there are a lot of us who are caregivers in a lot of ways. Caregivers at the church, caregivers for the sick, caregivers for someone in our own home, and mothers who have children who are perhaps ADHD-type children, and they have to give special care. So I really thought this book was very apropos, and I reached out to Lorraine, and she was glad to come on the show. We have also a very nice reflection, well, actually more of an interview, that Mariana, dear Mariana, our award-winning correspondent from the Midwest, did with Father V. You know, she's been helping and supporting and praying for Father V for a long time. And
listing us to pray, too.
Yeah, and our listeners. And so she has accomplished an interview with Father V. How this all took place is sort of a mystery. I don't know how she was able to set it up, but at any rate, I'm so anxious to bring that to our listeners. Do we have anything else that we need to do for Prattle?
We could just mention that last night after, while you were at Mass, I went to a graduation party for the daughter of some friends of ours,
mm-hmm.
a family who are part of our Faith Travelers group.
Yes.
And their oldest daughter is graduating high school.
Her first name is Lena. She's a very, very lovely.
Very sweet girl.
Yeah, young woman. Mm-hmm. And
she's gotten like several commendations. I saw a picture on Facebook. Mm. That her mother posted with some awards she got. Good student.
Great. Yeah, I hope she, I don't know, is she going to be going off to college? Do you know? Was it talked about?
We didn't talk about that last night, but I think I heard her mother say once before that she may be doing some local college work first
mm-hmm.
and then going off to a larger college.
All right. Well, it's that time of year. Today and tomorrow is the celebration of our great American Memorial Day, and we give thanks to each and every man and woman who has served in the armed forces, whether in peacetime or in conflict, and for those who have given up their life. May God grant you rest, and we thank you for helping to keep America the great country that it is. We'll be back. Well, that was just a snippet from Gretchen Harris, a previous guest on Catholic Vitamins, from her lovely album, Sing of Mary. That was Hail Mary, combined with A Gentle Woman. Great song, and we encourage you, we'll put a link to her music when we post the show. Now it's time for a special interview with our award-winning journalist, Mariana Bartholomew.
This is journalist Mariana Bartholomew with a missionary moment. We are all called to be caregivers to our family and the world. And missionaries also have a special call. Their people are family. I have with me my friend Father Varghese from India, who is finishing 5 years of serving scattered mission outposts in the state of Andhra Pradesh. Father Varghese, it's nice to have you with me.
Thank you.
Could you speak about caregiving in the context of being a mission priest in rural India? How are you called to respond like the Good Samaritan in the lives of your people?
In my childhood onwards, my parents encouraged me to help the poor. And I saw a lot of struggles in my own people in India. My friends and relatives, we had a very tough time during the time of flood. and other natural calamities, poverty, sickness. Once I become priest, I thought I should remove some of this burden from the people, and I should be a light for them, and I should liberate some of the clutches of the sorrow. So I took it a challenge and I started to care the people, their tribulations, in their problems, sickness, and all kinds of spiritual bondages and all kinds of economic struggles. I, as a pastor of the souls, caretaker of their problems.
So you received that heart to serve the poor from your parents. How did you as a child see them practically reach out to the poor?
As we were poor, when some come for the almsgiving or during the time of Lent, we forget our misery, forget our poverty. We used to help poorer than us. So it was a model for my parents that I got a quality of caring others from my parents, and I saw they were helping, they were going out of their way to help the poor.
I seem to remember a story, meat on your table was very rare, but when your father did go to buy meat, he would also buy some to share with the neighbors.
He himself used to go and give to their houses and come back. And same way, they also, whenever they buy some things, they also used to give to our family.
Okay. I know you've reached out a helping hand to children in child labor situations in helping them to go to school. When the monsoons have come, you have helped join with others in your mission to provide water. Even at times when you've lacked funds, you've found a way to help the poor in your area. Could you give us a couple of examples that would maybe give us ideas as how each one of us could reach out to the poor in our area?
Yeah, well, it's that we should search for an opportunity to help the poor. Like Jesus, he wanted to heal the lepers, so he went through Samaria to Jerusalem in order to take, he needs a healing there. So that is the initiative from Jesus. So in my life too, oftentimes people don't come and ask a pastor to help them, but I go and ask what is their need, especially widows' need and the food for widows and the school children, those who are dropouts, and school children, those who are not going to school because of cannot able to pay the school fees and the midday meals, and people who are sick and unable to take them to the hospital because lack of money, and those who come far and they work and they lose everything in the natural calamity, so they wanted to go back to their home, and those who are in the hospitals abandoned and there is nobody to take care of them. In that way, many ways and many fields, I reached out to the poor and needy.
Certain things you have done that have really touched my heart. One is bringing a box of oranges into the hospital, blessing an orange and giving it to a patient. Mm-hmm. And could you just describe what kind of change do you see in the people when you reach out in this way?
Yeah, well, they all know me. As soon as I reach into the hospital, they ask for blessing first, and then we give some food, orange or rice or whatever it may be we need to distribute on that day. So when they see us, they will have a great reverence and they are happy, and this is the experience of taking care of someone else as a priest in my life.
Have you seen people draw closer to God, closer to their faith, through being offered help in a practical way?
Yeah, well, not only me, many do the charitable work. But it is ultimate the need of a person if they need Christ and to embrace Christianity. Jesus tells us, do good, love your neighbor as I loved you. So it is our duty to love the neighbor as he loved us. And ultimately, the other religion, they should know God's love is unconditional and he loves us through the local people or whomever come to meet them. And in that way, they come to the religion. And when we do such kind of charity work, we never propagate our religion. But people, they come to know they are from the Catholic Church and Jesus is behind to do all this work. Slowly, they also have a tendency to come to the Catholic faith.
Well, Pope Francis encourages us to have a heart for each other, to have a heart for the poor, and in doing that, becoming more human. Have you found your heart becoming more human, opening up as you've reached out to the poor?
Yeah, surely. When I was a student and a brother, that life was a theoretical life. We study and hear. But after the priesthood, it is the practical life. We were sent into a mission. I am in the midst of all the problems and I am the leader. I have to handle. This is the way slowly I learned the things that I studied in the seminary to be more practical among the people. And it is very difficult to be practical as we learned in our study classes. It is in order to be more practical, we need God's love and His care and His need that we feel to continue and carry on. So as a priest, I really experienced the love of Christ when I have given a particular mission in charge.
So being a seminary, you were learning from the books, but being a missionary priest brought you out amongst the people.
In a seminary, we different topics we were dealt, clerical priesthood and the mission outreach and the pastoral ministry and the organized form of service. There are many levels of priesthood we can exercise. And it is the duty of the third world country priest, pastor like me, should embrace the mission. Some may not be liking the mission work, but I personally, I love the mission work because I am a missionary. The very meaning of missionary is to be sent. And I am sent by something else with a purpose. That is my purpose. I left my home and my language and my people and my culture. Everything I left just because of Christ. And I embraced a new region and I embraced a new culture, new language, new things. And now I am part of that culture. That is the real meaning of a missionary. To be with the people and to embrace their culture and to lead them to Christ.
So would you recommend the missionary life to others who are considering a vocation?
Yeah. I always encourage my parishioners as well as wherever I go, wherever I see young boys and girls, I will just ask them, what do you want to become in your life? And then only they realize actually what they want. But it is our prime duty to tell our children when they are in tender age, you should become a priest or nun to serve Christ. Often our parents think about the great jobs, doctors or engineers or some other good job, white collar job they always search for. But hardly people think about the vocations. And I always pray and encourage my parishioners and my people, wherever I go, my friends, my relatives, to encourage for God's servant.
Well, it's been so wonderful to follow your missionary labors over the past couple of years and to meet other missionary friends through you. From what I have seen, the missionary life, although it's a life of struggle and certainly has its battles, it's also a happy life. It's a life filled with grace and the love of God. And so I believe that you have been on a 1-month rest in between your two mission assignments. You're completing one mission assignment and moving on to a new mission where you will be going to a mission where there is not yet a church. We wish you all of God's blessings.
Thank you.
And just if all the Catholic Vitamins listeners could keep Father Varghese in prayer and the missionaries of India and the missionaries all around the world.
Thank you.
Might you offer a blessing to Deacon Tom D. and the listeners?
Yeah, surely. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
What a marvelous example Father V is for the care that is required for the poor, the needy, those who are searching for God in their lives. A great example of charity given to him by his parents. Thanks be to God for that. And the great example of Jesus that we know of from Scripture. And then people come to know the love of God through others, including our priests. Father B, bless you, and may you return safely to India. Mariana, thank you for providing us with an unusual approach to your missionary moments. Thank you for the interview. And Dee?
After hearing about him through Mariana for a couple of years, it's nice to hear his voice.
Yeah, it is. It
kind
is.
Of put a voice to the name. And we wish him well on his new mission assignment.
Amen. And I know that he will be giving Catholic Vitamin C care to those that he ministers to.
We have two new friends on our Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page.
All right.
Leslie, Kasia, and Allison Gingras.
Gingras.
And you, I don't know what you, I forget now what you said to Allison when you welcomed her. She wrote back, "Hello, Deacon Tom. Thanks for your kind words about my radio show. It is clearly a work in progress, but I think it gets better every week. It is all in God's hands. I am just trying my hardest to cooperate with the grace. And I'd love, no, be honored to visit Catholic Vitamin anytime.
We're going to try to have her as an interview.
Yeah, maybe we can get her on. So if anybody would like to know a little bit about her work, you can go to www.reconciledtoyou.com. And then Leslie also wrote in, "Dear Deacon Tom and lovely Dee." Oh, isn't she sweet?
Mm-hmm.
"I have been listening to Catholic Vitamins for a long time, but have only just made contact with you on Facebook. I really enjoy the podcast and often recommend it to people in RCIA that they download you."
Great, great.
Wow, thank you. "I am a convert, was brought up in the Salvation Army, became a Catholic in 79, am a mother of four, two girls and two boys, and grandmother to three. The three girls. I am coordinator for RCIA in my parish and have been involved with RCIA for about 15 years and have helped prepare nearly 200 adults for the sacraments."
Praise God. Praise God.
"Please keep up the good work." Well, I can say the same to you, Leslie.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, both of those people who have signed up for being friends on our Catholic Vitamins Facebook page. And Dee, I think we're ready to start up our interview. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
I have a couple more little tidbits here, but we can hold that till later.
All right. We'll be ready to do our interview in just a second. Well, dear friends, 4.5 years ago, when we started Catholic Vitamins, we said that we weren't going to go after the famous or the well-known or the super-talented. And in fact, we've accomplished that sometimes when we found stories down the pew from where we sit or interesting people who've gone through conversions or reversions in their lives. All these things said, every once in a while we find a person or a book that we simply just have to reach out about. And today we've found both the person, her name is Lorraine Bennett, and we've received a copy of her new book, A Year of Grace, 365 Reflections for Caregivers, published by the good people at our Sunday Visitor. Lorraine, welcome to our Catholic Vitamins podcast on the World Wide Web.
Well, thank you so much, Deacon. It's wonderful to be here with you.
Well, we're honored to have you with us, and I'd like to say a word or two about your background. You are a writer, a speaker and a sometime blogger. Check on that.
That's right.
Okay, and you've written books by yourself, and you've written, co-written with your husband, Art, a book entitled The Emotions God Gave Us, A Guide for Catholics to Healthy and Holy Living, and you've co-authored, here's one I don't know if I want my wife to read, it's called The Temperament God Gave You and The Temperament God Gave Your Spouse. Yikes.
Right.
So you're the author of many best-selling books, and they seem to be in a particular area of expertise. So to start our time together, what's your background, and how has it helped you to have such success in this area?
Well, actually, I was a philosophy major, and I got my master's in philosophy, and I'm also a writer and a blogger, as you mentioned, but my husband is the one who is the therapist, and he's a marriage and family therapist, a licensed therapist, and he's practiced for, oh gosh, about 30 years or so. And so really, the books about temperament and emotion are more in his area of expertise than mine, but we together just became just fascinated with the concept of temperament, and that's why, and I from the writing end probably, and he from the therapy end, I guess, and he found it was just super helpful for him in his practice. But then we discovered the Catholic tradition of temperament, and it just goes way back, you know, just all the way back to, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas, or, you know, just the many saints in the past have written about temperament, many spiritual writers as well, like Father Tanqueray, that's an old classic that he wrote. Anyway, and also up to the moment, the modern times, there's this long-standing tradition of temperament within Catholic spirituality. So kind of felt that it was not, it had not really received enough notice by just the average person, the lay person, moms and dads who could use this with their kids and so on. And that's how we got started writing about temperament.
All right. So where were you raised? And there was the edge of something that came out there. Are you Catholic? Have you been Catholic a long time?
Oh, yes, all my life. Yeah, well, both of us are cradle Catholics, both my husband and myself. Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, I went to grammar school, it was all Catholic, then I went to public high school, and then we went to a Catholic university, and then for grad school, I went to a public institution.
Mm-hmm. So. Just as a sidebar, Lorraine, I didn't know this before I joined the Deacon Formation Program, a four-year program in Colorado, in the Archdiocese of Denver. But they started us the first 2 years in philosophy before we moved fairly heavily into theology and scripture. And I remember that one of the books that we used for philosophy, which surprised me, was Confessions by St. Augustine. I don't know whether that would be
wonderful.
Yeah, classic or not, but certainly we also read St. Thomas and others, but we had a couple great professors of philosophy, and it was a gift during the 4 years. Okay, that's a sidebar. More, let's get back to you. Any extraordinary faith experiences or faith wanderings to share from your early years?
Well, yeah. Well, we were sort of what you call just your average pew sitter type of Catholic for a long time until we moved overseas, and we were actually living in Germany, and my husband had a contract with the military, and we joined, you know, the parish fair, on the military base, and we met this extraordinary priest who just completely revitalized our faith and showed us a whole new way of approaching it, which was extremely involved. Like he required everybody. He said, if you're coming to Mass here on Sunday, then you are going to be involved. And we're like, what? We can't just sit here in the back and sneak out early. You know, it was a whole new experience, and it was wonderful.
How about the book, A Year of Grace, 365 Reflections for Caregivers. How did this get started in your mind, or what was the genesis of the book?
Well, it all started with my mom, and my mom had been a very independent, very intellectually active woman who she was living by herself after my dad died. She was in Nevada, and I was all the way across the country on the other side, and I'm the only child. So really, she was by herself, except for a few of my cousins who lived out there as well. But she was extremely active, as I said, intellectually. She loved to read. She was always reading three books at once. And she was a painter. She was an artist. She was a published author herself. And so she was just, you know, I don't even know how to describe her. I sort of describe her in the book, but she was just such, I mean, I was very much always admiring of her, and she had a beautiful faith. I mean, very, she in fact was a convert from Protestantism, but anyway, so she had a great devotion to the Blessed Mother. Well, all of a sudden she had this massive stroke, and this stroke was so horrible. It was completely incapacitated her. So nothing that she used to do could she do. She couldn't walk. She couldn't talk. She couldn't eat. She couldn't even read, which was one of her favorite things to do, because somehow the stroke affected her eyesight and everything blurred, I think, when she looked at it. Was hard to tell because she couldn't tell us because she couldn't talk, but we sort of surmised after tests, you know, that she couldn't read either. So there was no way of really communicating using like the communication board that some of the stroke victims use. You know, they can point to pictures and say, you know, this is what I need, you know, I'm cold or sad or I'm hungry or whatever. She couldn't communicate that way. And so there she was all the way across the country, and I'm over here. And so this was just devastating to me, and I'm sure to her. And so this was the start of the process of the book, really, was that I started, I really started praying a lot about what was I going to do. I had to bring her over here. I wanted her to be with me and with my, you know, her grandkids, my husband, even a great grandchild. And so I started praying a novena to St. Joseph and to somehow get her over here. And so miraculously, we got a medical flight. And we transferred her on St. Joseph's feast day from Nevada to Virginia. And so I brought her here, and she had to go to a nursing facility. And from there, it was a matter of a lot of praying. And then also, I was visiting her every day. And I started to wonder, well, has anybody, I would read like the Magnificat, you know, their little reflections there every day. But I thought, well, I wonder if anybody's ever written anything specifically for caregivers or people who are in this situation. And so that prompted me to start looking around and seeing if there was anything, and I couldn't find anything for Catholics specifically. So I thought, well, maybe I should do this. And, you know, I talked to my editor at our Sunday Visitor, and she agreed that it was a good idea. So I started working on the project, and that's kind of how it really came about. It was something for me, but also I thought, well, if I could use something like this, and it would be something for other people as well who are in a similar situation.
Absolutely. We have been in prayer here in our online family, I'll call it, the Friends of Catholic Vitamins, of people who have shared intentions with us that we've prayed for. And one of them very recently was someone who had been a caregiver for her mother, and the mother passed on finally. But you've made me tender for another reason, and that is because my wife and I were in San Francisco living and working, and my mom was in Detroit, and we had the exact same circumstances that you described. And there's some, you know, mix of guilt and worry and, you know, trying to pray what would be the best answers. And I'm going to ask you to help with a little example or two from your book in a moment, but I have a question that has occurred to me, and it may seem a little strange until you hear it out, so let me get this out. I as a deacon, I, you know, go and minister in sometimes private homes and often in rest facilities. And there's a place that I visit every Thursday morning. It's a, they call it a rest place or a restoration place. And, you know, some of the caregivers, the family members, you could see that they're going through what you've described. But sometimes even the paid staff can act like they're pretty burned out after day incessant demands. And whether they are Catholic or not, I just wondered as I hold the book if this might not be a fertile ground for caregivers who are even paid workers in rest homes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think so. I think it would be good for, I tried to write with all of these people in mind, the caregivers, the professional caregiver, as well as the non-professional, the family member, the part-time caregiver, also the elderly person themselves. I was trying to present all of the perspective of everyone, I think, because I came to know these people so well from visiting every single day. I got to know the professional caregivers, the nurses, the doctors, as well as the other people in the nursing home. And it was just such a rich experience for me that I wanted to share not only the people that I met there, but, you know, well, and my own experiences and my own growth, I hope, in faith through the process as well.
Well, that's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I think I have thought that this book would be on my shelf for quite a while, but after having you answer this question, I think maybe I'll take this into management at the care center that I go to and tell them about the book and let them look at it. And then perhaps they might want to order some copies or whatever, make them available to the staff.
Well, I felt that, if I may add, I think that caregivers have such a difficult job. It's a very hidden job. They often don't get out. They're the ones who are there day in, day out, all day long. And sometimes it's back-breaking work. Like with my mom, she couldn't move, and she had to be lifted. They had to have two people to help, use a lift to put her in the wheelchair. And so all this work that they do, it's extremely taxing. But also, it's emotionally taxing because oftentimes it's your loved one who's going through this horrible experience, or it seems to be horrible from your perspective, And I wanted to present the reality of it, to not to be sugarcoating it, but also at the same time to show the hope that is present always there for us, if we just could access it, and to share with the caregivers as well as the people who are in the situation themselves, how can we find hope in the midst of this situation?
Okay. Well, I said that I had a couple things that I was going to ask you to share about. I have two dates, among others, that are important in my heart for things that we've been through with caregiving in our family. And the first one I want to ask you about is, would you open your book to May 2nd and read what you have written? All of these pages are very short, very, very quick and easy. Would you read from May 2nd, and then if you'd like to make any comments about what you've written on that date?
Sure. Okay, this is called Mary and the Eucharist. There is a beautiful painting, The Virgin Adoring the Host, by Jean-Auguste Dominique Ingres. Mary contemplates the sacred host atop a chalice. Her hands are folded in prayer, the tranquility of her lovely face a mirror of the Eucharist. The first time I saw this painting, I was startled. I had never thought of Mary receiving communion. Just as she received her son as a divine spark of life at the Annunciation, so too she would have received him in her later years in Holy Communion. We can be grateful today for Mary, Mother of the Church, and our Mother too. We also thank God for her son, whom we can receive just as she did in Holy Communion.
That's so beautiful. So beautiful.
Well, Oh, thank you. Hope I didn't butcher his name, the painter, but no. His French names, you know. Well,
did you have anything you wanted to comment about when you wrote that? Or
well, what? Yeah, it just, it really is true that I had that moment of, that I was just really stunned when I first saw that painting. Do you know that painting? Have you seen it?
I haven't, and it makes me really anxious to try to find out something about it.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's just so, it's so marvelous that he must have been meditating on this, that Mary, you know, in her later years would receive Holy Communion. It's just, it's such a powerful image and such a beautiful, beautiful thing to contemplate and to really reflect on. Mm-hmm. And I find it very comforting that we're in the same boat as Mary, because sometimes we put her on a pedestal and she's so far away and she's so perfect and, you know, and we don't feel, sometimes we feel like we can't relate to her, but yet she is our mother and she's been through so many things that we go through.
Yeah.
She went through these things as well. And she went through the many sorrows and that we experience in our own life. And that this is one of the beautiful, tender things that she experienced that we also can experience.
My thought after reading this was that the caregiver who is drained and emotionally sort of bankrupt, if you will, can find great restoration as the Blessed Mother did in receiving the same Eucharist that she did. I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, so true. So yeah. True. Yeah. And there's another reflection that I had where it was another one of those moments, like when Jesus gives Mary, his mother, to John at the foot of the cross, John is the caregiver. Mm-hmm. So it's like, isn't that cool to think about that? That the caregiver caring for the Blessed Mother, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many beautiful parallels in Christ's life and in the life of the saints and even in the Old Testament, which I discovered when I was writing the book. There's so many ways in which we see how our faith can help us kind of make it through these difficult times.
Okay, given the time constraints that we're up against, I want to ask if you would to open to December 20th and read what's there, and if you have any comments that you'd like to share.
Okay, sure. This is called O Key of David. We are sitting in a corner of the big lobby, my son and his baby, who is just learning to crawl. The residents in their walkers and wheelchairs stop by to chat. They are drawn by the presence of a baby. One, a slightly cranky and usually aloof gentleman, asks if he can join us in our little group. Isn't this exactly why Jesus came as a helpless infant? Who can resist a baby? Not even the grouchiest old man. A baby to unlock the hearts of the prisoners, the pagans, the wretched, the sinners. God comes as an innocent child to open the door to heaven, to break down the prison walls of sin and death.
Oh, boy. Lorraine, how many times I have seen either a child in the nursing home that I visited or a dog, a patient-friendly dog coming for a visit,
mm-hmm.
or a place where they have a number of birds that are inside of a confined area but large enough for them to fly around and the patients. The gift of God's creation, the gift of his son, Jesus, as a baby. Just beautiful image there as well.
So true, so true.
All right. Well, as we move towards a close, I'm going to hate to say goodbye, but as we move towards a close, let's do some contact information, and then we'll find out where people can find the book. Do you want to give out any blog information or Facebook information about Lorraine Bennett?
Oh, sure. Actually, I have a Facebook page for A Year of Grace. It's called A Year of Grace. So if people want to join the Facebook group, I try to post something every day that might be relevant to people who are caregiving. And it's called, so it's just A Year of Grace on the Facebook page. And that's my main contact info, I guess. And as far as getting the book, you can find it on Amazon, or you can also go to osv.com, which is Our Sunday Visitor, their website, osv.com.
Just as sort of a global observation of the beauty and utility of your book, A Year of Grace, for our listeners, you know, for any younger parents who struggle with autistic children, or anyone who faces something in their life that is a constant need for attention, I recommend the book as something to have on the nightstand and maybe to be a part of after the first prayers of the morning. Each of these pages would take maybe 30 seconds, but there's grace to carry into the day, which is why the book title, A Year of Grace, resonated with me. 365 Reflections for Caregivers. And once again, where can people find the book? Are there multiple sources?
Yes, well, Amazon.com and Our Sunday Visitor, which is osv.com. And those are the main two places that I know of right now.
Okay, all right. Our guest on Catholic Vitamins has been Lorraine Bennett, a noted author and speaker and occasional blogger, as you've heard. But please join her on Facebook. And Lorraine, we'll keep you in our prayers, and we thank you for coming on Catholic Vitamins.
Well, thank you so much, Deacon, for having me on Catholic Vitamins. It's been a real pleasure to be here.
Bennett, was a joy to have on Catholic Vitamins, and for any of our listeners who are experiencing some form of continuing attention and demand from somebody in your life, you might want to consider her new book, and we'll put a link to the book to Our Sunday Visitor when we post the show.
We know a couple here in town who are have been struggling with some caregiving issues.
Absolutely. Yeah, I want to share this a couple places.
Yeah. So Justin is not going to be with us today.
Justin Stroh, award-winning Justin Stroh from the upper Midwest. What's he doing?
Well, he wrote in, he says, "Sorry, I have graduating son, daughter back from a year on NET, N-E-T, I forget what that stands for.
Yeah, I know, I can't remember at the moment.
And my 15-year pastor is moving.
Oh.
I care.
Oh, that's the vitamin for the show, yes. I care.
I just have to care about these things first.
All right. Okay.
Thank you, Justin.
And then Fergal sent an email to me. You haven't seen it yet, I don't think. He sent me an email and said he was swamped this weekend, but he would try his best to be back with us next week. So,
well, we're still like riding the wave of the happiness from getting him as an interview last week.
That's right. It's a great interview, too. Yeah. Anything else for this segment?
What do I have here? Oh, we mentioned our friend Mary Lewis and their anniversary, their 33rd anniversary.
Yes, that
was the last podcast. She said, "What a nice surprise to hear our anniversary well wishes on your podcast. You really made me feel special. I just love you guys. And Deacon Tom, about me being 35? Well, let's just say you're in my will now."
Hey, she's stealing my line. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for that and for the other pieces of work that you've prepared for our show, Dee. I think we're probably ready for a special segment with Sonia from Tennessee. What do you think?
Okay.
This is your weekly Bible supplement on Catholic Vitamins with scriptural evangelist Sonia Corbett.
The Catholic vitamin for this week is care. And rather than doing the usual talking or sharing or teaching that I usually do, I'd like to offer a reading. Crying is all right in its way while it lasts, but you have to stop sooner or later, and then you still have to decide what to do. When Jill stopped, she found she was dreadfully thirsty. She had been lying face downward, and now she sat up. The birds had ceased singing, and there was perfect silence except for one small, persistent sound which seemed to come from a good distance away. She listened carefully and felt almost sure it was the sound of running water. Jill got up and looked round her very carefully. There was no sign of the lion, but there were so many trees about that it might easily be quite close without her seeing it. For all she knew, there might be several lions. But her thirst was very bad now, and she plucked up her courage to go and look for that running water. She went on tiptoes, stealing cautiously from tree to tree and stopping to peer round her at every step. The wood was so still that it was not difficult to decide where the sound was coming from. It grew clearer every moment, and sooner than she expected, she came to an open glade and saw the stream, bright as glass, running across the turf a stone's throw away from her. But although the sight of the water made her feel 10 times thirstier than before, she didn't rush forward and drink. She stood as still as if she had been turned into stone with her mouth wide open. And she had a very good reason. Just on this side of the stream lay the lion. It lay with its head raised and its 2 forepaws out in front of it, like the lions in Trafalgar Square. She knew at once that it had seen her, for its eyes looked straight into hers for a moment and then turned away, as if it knew her quite well and didn't think much of her. "If I run away, it'll be after me in a moment," thought Jill, "and if I go on, I shall run straight into its mouth." Anyway, she couldn't have moved if she had tried, and she couldn't take her eyes off it. How long this lasted, she could not be sure. It seemed like hours. And the thirst became so bad that she almost felt she would not mind being eaten by the lion, if only she could be sure of getting a mouthful of water first. "If you're thirsty, you may drink." They were the first words she had heard since Scrub had spoken to her on the edge of that cliff. For a second she stared here and there, wondering who had spoken. Then the voice said again, "If you are thirsty, come and drink." And of course she remembered what Scrub had said about animals talking in that other world, and realized that it was the lion speaking. Anyway, she had seen its lips move this time, and the voice was not like a man's. It was deeper, wilder, and stronger, a sort of heavy, golden voice. It did not make her any less frightened than she had been before, but it made her frightened in a rather different way. "Are you not thirsty?" said the lion. "I'm dying of thirst," said Jill. "Then drink," said the lion. "Would you mind going away while I do?" said Jill. The lion answered this only by a look and a very low growl. And as Jill gazed at its motionless bulk, she realized that she might as well have asked the whole mountain to move aside for her convenience. The delicious rippling noise of the stream was driving her nearly frantic. "Will you promise not to do anything to me if I do come?" said Jill. "I make no promise," said the lion. Jill was so thirsty now that without noticing it, she had come a step nearer. "Do you eat girls?" she said. "I have swallowed up girls and boys, women and men, kings and emperors, cities and realms," said the lion. It didn't say this as if it were boasting, nor as if it were sorry, nor as if it were angry. It just said it. "I daren't come and drink," said Jill. "Then you will die of thirst," said the lion. "Oh dear," said Jill, coming another step nearer. "I suppose I must go and look for another stream then." "There is no other stream," said the lion. This is Sonia Corbett, your scriptural evangelista. Until next week.
Well, Sonia Corbett is normally doing work from Scripture for us, for which we appreciate, very much. But I found something which will help me understand a little bit the tie-in to today's vitamin. In the same way that Jesus understands our thirst, be it physical like thirst for water, mental like thirst for knowledge, or emotional like thirst for love, in his own time and in his own way, he provides the things that could quench this thirst. And there are those that we come upon in life or that we're gifted with, they could be in our family, who need care. They thirst for something which maybe you and you alone can give. Dee, wasn't that beautiful what you did?
It was. And I didn't know where that was from.
From Narnia.
Yeah. Well, we got to divide a Scrabble before we go out. And we also have a winner.
Oh, do we?
We had one correct guess.
Yeah, for the simple word care?
Yes.
I'm very surprised.
And it was our new friend. Leslie.
All right. Well, Leslie, we'll have something in the mail to you within a few days. Usually people seem to like these quite a bit when we do them, so we'll get that on the way.
Right. I will contact you, Leslie, and find out what your address is. Vita Scrabble for next time.
All right, let's stop once again because we do know, because we have new listeners, that they may not know how this works. Dee does a tease. We call it Vita Scrabble. She gives you the first letter and the last letter of the next vitamin. By the way, I'm just going to tell you that I'm really looking forward to sharing the next vitamin with our listeners. I'm always anxious, but I'm really anxious to do this for a couple reasons. One is it's going to be a high-quality interview, I think, an exciting interview. And after the show is done, Dee, guess what we do?
We get to do a little vacation time.
Yeah, we get on the road. All right, so Dee's going to give you the tease for the first letter, last letter of the vitamin. And then if you take a guess, send it to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And any correct guesses go into a basket, and then Dee pulls one.
So Catholic vitamin D.
Like D, like you?
Yes. Ends, oh. Ends in T.
Oh, just one D, though.
Yes.
All right, okay. All right, D.
Starts with D, yes. Ends in T.
Let's not confuse people, Tom.
10 letters. It's
Ooh,
a long one.
Yeah, it is. All right. Catholic vitamin D ends in T, 10 letters long. Put your thinking caps on, everyone.
CatholicVitamins@gmail.com. I noticed, I don't know if you probably haven't had a chance to do anything yet, but I noticed that on our Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page, we still have a feedback number listed. We need to get rid of that because we don't have a feedback number currently.
Okay. All right. Okay, I'll do that. Thank you. Thank you. All right, dear friends, thank you for being a listener, supporter. Keep those checks in. Oh, we don't get checks. And the old days, you would say, keep those cards and letters, but nobody does that anymore, or hardly anybody.
Keep those emails coming.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks for being a listener. Thanks for being a friend of Catholic Vitamins.
Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.
Prayer for the United States. God our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land.
Grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Sinners now and at the hour of death. Amen.
Gentle woman, quiet light, morning star, so strong. Gentle mother.
us wisdom. Teach us love. You were chosen by the Father. You were chosen for the
sinners now and at the hour.